You can go ahead and turn with me to John chapter 15 if you'd like. Okay, John chapter 15, look at verse 23 again. The Lord said, "He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin, but now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this cometh to pass that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." They hated me without a cause. When the prophets of old wrote about Christ our Redeemer, the one who was to come and save his people from their sin, it's written in Acts chapter 10, verse 43, that to him give all the prophets witness. That simply means that all that's written in this book in the Old Testament by Moses, and the prophets, and the Psalms is all concerning him. They gave Christ witness. There's one who's coming that's going to redeem his people, the Messiah. And the prophets of the Old Testament scriptures wrote that Christ the Messiah would be despised, rejected and hated by all men. And the Lord here in our text in verse 25 says, "But this comes to pass that the word might be fulfilled that it is written in their law, they hated me without a cause." And that's what David the prophet said in Psalm 69 verse 4. He said, "They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head." In Psalm 109, verse 3, David said, "They compassed me about also with words of hatred and fought against me without a cause." In Psalm 22, which is a messianic psalm, you'll find the very words of Christ from the cross, which said, "My God, why hast thou forsaken me?" And then also in verse 6 of Psalm 22, he says, "I am a worm and no man, and I am a reproach of men, despised of the people." Isaiah foretold of the Lord Jesus, our Redeemer, and he said he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. So we see that from Psalm 22 and the verses in Isaiah 53 that Christ was hated. Not only did they hate him without a cause, but he was hated for what he did for his people. Isaiah also said in chapter 53, he's despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief, and he certainly was. Isaiah continued on, he said, "There's no form or comeliness, no beauty that we should desire him." So we very clearly see what was written concerning our Lord in the law and the prophets. They hated him. They despised and rejected him. And when Christ came into the world, that very second, hatred for him began. From his birth, even before, Herod tried to unsuccessfully kill him, all the way until they did crucify the Lord on Golgotha's hill, and it was a constant desire of sinful man to destroy God in the flesh. They ridiculed the Lord from the beginning, before becoming one of his disciples. Nathanael said, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" They ridiculed his trade, "Is not this the carpenter?" They mocked his holiness by saying he's a friend of sinners. He eats with publicans and sinners. They called the Lord Jesus a wine bibber. They called him a glutton. They said he had a devil. They tried to stone him on several occasions. They tried to throw him off a cliff. They asked him to leave their city and asked him to never come back. They paid one of his disciples to betray him. That's how much they hated him. And since he was a perfect man and no fault was found in him, they hired liars to testify against him. They hated him, and there was no cause for it. Why did they hate him without a cause? Why all this hatred for one so good, for one so pure? Was it because he healed the sick? Was it because he gave sight to the blind, gave hearing ears to the deaf? Is that why they beat him so bad that the scriptures say that his visage was so marred that he didn't even resemble a man? Is that why? Was it because he fed the multitudes, raised the dead? No, that wasn't the reason. They didn't hate him for what he did. They hated him for who he claimed to be. They went from one day going, Hosanna, Hosanna, to just a few days later going, crucify, crucify. They hated him. They hated him without a cause. He told his disciples, he said, if the world hates you, matter of fact, right there in verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. We shouldn't be surprised if this world hate us and the religion of this world hate us. I told you not long ago, I've had on a couple occasions people say to me, I liked you a whole lot better, and told other people I liked him a whole lot better before he got saved. They hated him because he said, I and my Father are one. That's one of the reasons they hated him. When the Lord said that, the Jews took up stones to stone him. And there was no cause for it, none. He and his Father were one. The Lord Jesus said, many good works have I done among you. For which of those good works do you stone me? And they said, for a good work we don't stone you. That's not why. We stone you because you blaspheme. And being a man, you make yourself out to be God. But he was God. No cause for it. He was God. Secondly, they hated the Lord Jesus because he possessed all the attributes of deity. He said, all authority and power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. And boy, they didn't like that. He knew everything. He knew their thoughts. And he knew no sin. And he said that he had power to give life, and they hated him because of that. For they knew that only God could give life, that only God could create. And the Lord Jesus said, the Son quickeneth whom he will. The Lord gives life to whoever he desires to give life. And he told them that he had the power to forgive sin. Oh, they didn't like that. You being a man, make yourself out to be God. No, he is God, and he can forgive sin. On many occasions, speaking to sinners that the Lord healed, he said, thy sins be forgiven thee. And they hated him because he said that. Thomas had it right when he fell on his face and cried, my Lord and my God. But even Thomas didn't say that until he saw the Lord himself after his resurrection, because he had said that he wouldn't believe it till he saw it. He said, until I put my finger in his handprints and in his side, I don't believe it. Then the Lord revealed himself to him, and then he said, my Lord and my God. But the Lord Jesus said, blessed are those that believe and hadn't seen. Ministering in his hometown, we talked about it just recently. He read from that book of Isaiah, and when he finished, he sat down, and he said this. He said, this day are these words, are these scriptures fulfilled in your ears. And man, you talking about flying hot. Well, they were filled with wrath, the scripture says, filled with wrath. All of them were, and they would have killed him, and they led him out to the brow of a hill and would have thrown him off. But why couldn't they? Because it was without a cause. And he walked through the midst of them. They hated him for the truth that he preached. They hated him because as God, he claimed to have chosen his people out of the world before the world was ever framed. Look at verse 19 again. He said, if you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you. And we looked at that in detail last time. There were many widows in Israel in the days of the prophet, when there was a great famine in the land, but God didn't save a one of them. He passed over them all, and he fed a Gentile woman. And there were many lepers in Israel in the days of God's prophet, but none of them was healed but a Gentile named Naaman. And boy, they hated him when he said that. But it was without a cause, because God has the right to save whom he will. The Lord Jesus, as God, had mercy on whom he'd have mercy. The Lord Jesus, as God, had compassion on whom he'd have compassion. And he passed by others, and they hated him because of it, because their hatred was without a cause. He's God. He can do what he wills. God has the right to do what he will with his own. God is not obligated to any person. I don't know why folks think that. We live in an entitled world. And it carries right on into religion. Maybe began in religion and worked its way outward. I don't know. But people sure feel like they're entitled. God's not obligated. God shows mercy to whom he'll show mercy. He don't owe anyone anything. All that God owes us is the wages of sin, and that's death. That's all God owes anybody. That's something that we've earned. That's something that we deserve. That's something that we have coming to us. I hear people say all the time, I just want what's coming to me. No, you don't. No, you don't. Oh, my, I want what I don't deserve. And you know what that is? That's mercy. The wages of sin is death. That's what God's word says. No, that's what God says. Not just his word, that's what he says. But that's not all God says. And I'm so thankful it's not. He also says, but the gift of God is eternal life. That's what I want. I want that free gift of eternal life. You remember what the Lord prayed to his Father? He said, I thank you, Father, the Lord of heaven and earth. You've hid these things from the wise and the prudent. Those who in their own minds and hearts think that they're wise and prudent. And you've revealed them unto babes. Why did God do that? Well, the Lord told us why. Because he said, even so, Father, it seemed good in your sight. That's the only reason. It just seemed good to the Lord to do it. He does what he wants to do. People today act as if God is their servant. They act as if God is their personal attendant, personal assistant. Brother Mahan once said, he's not at the beck and call of a crooked finger. Men and women today, just like the Jews of old, they would have killed the Lord Jesus if they could. They would. They wouldn't admit to that. They would have stoned him if they were able. The people that wanted to stone our Lord in his day were religious people. Did you know that according to biblical history, every one of the apostles, except for John, were killed as martyrs? They were killed by religious people. Turn back to John chapter 8. Let me show you why religious people took up stones to kill him. Look at verse 24 in John 8. He said, I said therefore unto you that ye shall die in your sins, for if you believe not that I am he, ye shall die in your sins. The first reason that his own nation desired to stone him and to kill him was is first that he called them sinners. And he claimed himself to be God, and they didn't like that. They didn't like either one of those things. Religious people don't like that. The second reason that they desired to stone the Lord and kill him was because he said that they were of their father, the devil. Look down at verse 44. He said, you are of your father, the devil, and the lust of your father you will do. And he was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there's no truth in him. And when he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. And because I tell you the truth, you believe me not. Now there was no cause in any of them to hate the Lord Jesus Christ. They hated him without a cause. He only told them the truth. Was he therefore their enemy for telling them the truth? That's the question Paul asked in Galatians 4. Am I your enemy for telling you the truth? A true friend to tell you the truth, even if it upsets you. And then the third reason that they desired to kill the Lord Jesus was because he told them that they were not of God. Look at verse 47. He said, he that is of God heareth God's words. Ye therefore hear them not, because you're not of God. He didn't say that they weren't of God because they didn't hear his words. He said they didn't hear their words because they weren't of God. These were the words of the Lord Jesus, and they hated him for it, not for his works, but for his words. Not for his miracles, but for his message. And that's why they hated him, and it was without a cause. That's why they crucified the Lord of glory, and it was without a cause. Of their own free will, they hated him. If you want to see the truth concerning men and women's free will, you just consider their hatred for Christ and how it was without a cause. He called them sinners. He told them they needed mercy. That was a gracious thing to do. They needed help. He told them so. He said those that are without need have no need of a physician. You need a physician. And they hated him because of it. They needed forgiveness. Look at what they said in verse 33 here in John chapter 8. They answered him, we be Abraham's seed, and we were never in bondage to any man. How sayest thou, ye shall be made free? And Jesus answered them, verily, verily, I say unto you, whosoever committeth sin is the servant of sin. And the servant abideth not in the house forever, but the Son abideth ever. If the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. What gracious words. I know that ye are Abraham's seed, but you seek to kill me because my word hath no place in you. I speak that which I have seen with my Father, and you do that which you have seen with your father. And they answered and said unto him, Abraham is our father. And Jesus said unto them, if you were Abraham's seed, you'd do the works of Abraham. But now you seek to kill me, and a man that hath told you the truth, which I have heard of God, this did not Abraham. There was absolutely nothing in Christ to provoke such hatred. Absolutely nothing. Perfect man. Nothing in his character. It was faultless. Nothing in his doctrines. They were all true. There was nothing in his laws. They were all holy, just, and right. He never did anything to harm anyone. Matter of fact, he always went about doing good. Always bestowing mercy and favors upon men. And they hated him. That tells you something about man's heart, doesn't it? Why then did they hate him? Why did they persecute him? Why did they put him to death? Because they hated his father. They hated him without a cause, that the word might be fulfilled that was written afore in their law. Now here the Lord traces the world's hatred and enmity back to its true source. Right here. Man's heart. Which is only evil and only evil continually. That heart within that is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. That's the source. And that's why men hated him. They hated the Lord without a cause, and yet the guilt still rested on them because they did exactly what they wanted to do. Man is without excuse because really we want, even though the Lord is sovereign and control, man does what he wants to do, and sometimes God just lets him do it. Just lets him do it. Just lets them do what they want to do. And that's terrifying. Man, I don't want him to let me do what I want. And that's why we pray, not our will, but thy will be done. We better keep praying that. I know that's this will always be a matter of debate among unbelievers, but not among the children of God. And that's exactly what Paul said in Romans chapter 9. I won't turn you there, but you're familiar enough with these scriptures. You tell men and women that God has mercy on whom he'll have mercy, and that he'll have compassion on whom he'll have compassion. And you tell sinners that it's not of him that willeth, nor that of him that runneth, but of God that showeth mercy. You tell them that. You tell someone that God will harden men by just leaving them to themselves, and they'll most definitely ask you, why does he yet find fault? Why does he yet find fault? If what you say is true and none can resist God's will, why then is my unbelief my fault? And what they mean is, how can God yet find fault with me if I'm only doing what he predestined me to do? If I only do what God enables me to do through mercy or restraint, if I believe only what God has raised me up to believe, as he did Pharaoh, he raised Pharaoh up. If God deals with me the same way, how can it be my fault? How can I be held responsible? If it's not my will, not my works, not my way that saves me, but only the sovereign will and purpose of God that does, why and how can he find fault with me when I'm only doing what he purposed me to do? And the answer is quite simple. He's God. He's God. He has the right to do what he will with his own. We're looking at God's salvation all wrong. Men are, by nature especially. The real question is, why would God save or redeem anybody? Not why would he find fault, why would he save anyone? Why would he have mercy or compassion on anybody? Why would he show grace on any who are determined to have their own hardened way? That's the real question. Why would God intervene in the life of anyone who hated his beloved son without a cause? I tell you, it's going to be hard for me to love someone if they hate my children. It just is, and you know it's so. They just show open contempt. Now, I'm not talking about if my son or daughter did something to harm someone, then I'd more than likely take sides with them against my child. But I'm just talking about just hating them without a cause for no reason. Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, why hast thou made me thus? Well, that's a good question. Why does a clay pot look like it does? Because that's the way the potter formed it. Hath not the potter power over the clay? Yes. And I'm telling you, none would disagree with that. Does the potter have the right to form one lump of clay into a beautiful vase for flowers and another lump of clay into a spittoon or an ashtray or a trash can? And none would argue with that either. What? Sure, that's what he wanted to make. But you tell men and women that God is the sovereign potter, has the right to form and mold the clay that he owns, by the way, it's his clay, in the shape or the form that he desires. After all, he is the potter. He's the one that's working on the wheel, forming and designing. And they'll claim him to be unfair. But God has the right to do what he wills with his own. And God has the right to do what seems good in his sight to do. If someone works hard all their life and buys and pays for their home and they own it free and clear, and they decide to paint that house purple or polka dotted pink and purple, and someone says, why'd you paint your house that way? The first answer should most certainly be, because it's my house and I can do what I will with it. And no one would argue with that. Any logical person would agree with that. Well, that's right. And you don't have to like it, and you don't have to look at it. But it's my house, and that's why I want to paint it. But you tell a sinner that God has the right to do what he will with his own. You tell them that God has the right as God to do what seems good in his sight, and they'll declare him to be wicked, wretched. They'll say things like, well, your God's my devil. Now, all of us by nature are vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and the child of God knows that. But God willing to make known the riches of his mercy and grace and glory with much long suffering, the scripture says, saved some that didn't deserve being saved. But it was his prerogative. It was his right as God to do that. And you know what these undeserving sinners now say? They'll tell you without any reservation that God and Christ loved them freely without a cause. Just the same way as men hate him freely without a cause. He loved his people freely for no reason other than it just pleased him to do so. That's the only reason we need, and he's not obligated to give that, but thank God he does, and he tells us why in this word, in this book. Being justified freely without a cause by his grace through the redemption that is where? In Christ Jesus. Romans 3:24. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him, speaking of Christ, that's where it's at, in Christ, how shall he not with him also freely, without a cause, give us all things? Romans 8:32. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely, without a cause, given to us of God. We hated him freely, without a reason, without a cause, and he loved and justified us freely without a reason or without a cause. I believe they call that sovereign grace. I believe they call it mercy and love. And it's given freely as a gift to the undeserving. And you know what? I'll take it. I sure will. I'll take it. Thank you, Lord.